going to start the intro again.
Welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and thank you for coming out this evening to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on this Christmas Eve. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our processional carol is, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to be born in Bethlehem. We praise you that he became the Savior of the world. Forgive us for not living our lives according to this truth. Remind us that Christmas began in your heart. Help us to believe that Christmas is the best news the world ever could see.
May we fully comprehend that Jesus is our only hope for true and lasting joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us on this Christmas Eve reaffirm our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood upon the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll bow for our Christmas prayer, and we'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. In our Presbyterian tradition, we'll say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your graciousness and kindness, for your compassion upon humanity. You cared so much that you sent your only Son into the world, a world that was full of darkness and sin. And he was willing to give his life that we might have life and life more abundant. When we read the biblical stories, and especially about Christ, we understand that his life was not easy, that he felt real pain, that he suffered, that he lived as we live. He cried, he laughed, he went through many of the trials and tribulations that we go through. The difference is that he never sinned, and he was able to give his life that we would not have to give ours, and we would have the promise of eternal life. So what makes Christmas so wonderful, so unique from all the other stories? And we thank you for it. So with our lives, we worship you this evening. We celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. And we look forward to his coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the meantime, we come to you in prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, asking that you would help us with our needs, our trials, our temptations. It is difficult to live this life at times. Other times, it is joyous and seems effortless. We pray for those who are hurting, who are without work, whose families are broken. Heal them, Lord. Touch them this very night. Be with each and every one of us as we have our own unique struggles. Let us feel you with us. Help us to make a new connection, a closer connection with you during this Christmas season. Help us find a sense of joy and be able to rejoice in our hearts. And we thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Listen to Isaiah's prophecy from Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee, as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the battle, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and the peace, and of the peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Let's bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, on this Christmas Eve, we thank you for the life that you have given to us, the gifts that you have given to the church, that we may spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that people may find you, have a relationship with you, and have the peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for that, Lord. The many different churches and varieties, bless them, Lord. Help us at Glenshaw Valley to grow. Help us to have your true spirit of love and peace and knowledge. Thank you, Lord, for every gift that you've given us, every gift that we use, not just monies, but our talents of singing, the music, the gift of fellowship, of reaching out to one another, everything that we attempt to do. Bless this congregation and all the visitors that are here this evening. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Advent, we have journeyed in faith towards God's wondrous gift. Oh, come, let us adore him. During Advent, we stood in awe of God's saving grace. Oh, come, let us adore him. During Advent, we recalled the promise of God's spoken word. Oh, come, let us adore him. During Advent, we waited for the time of God's glorious arrival. Oh, come, let us adore him. Tonight, our waiting is over. Our eyes are open, and the gift is given. Oh, come, let us adore him. Tonight, we light all the candles. The first candle reminds us to recapture the wonder of the season. In the midst of repeated refrains and familiar stories, Advent is a time to be awed by the God who came to restore our world. The second candle calls us to remember the promises of old, that from the dawn of creation, all things have unfolded according to God's redemptive plan. The third candle calls us to listen to the God who still speaks to us today. Advent is a time to hear afresh the joy of God's reconciling love that beckons us homeward. The fourth candle calls us to reawaken our sense of expectation and behold the miraculous in our day and time. Tonight, we light the Christ candle, rejoicing in the good news of the holy birth, the hope of humanity, and the light of the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for guiding us throughout this season of wonder. We stand amazed at the promise now fulfilled and awed by your humble birth. Help us receive, again, the joy and wonder of the greatest gift offered to the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our newborn King. Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Listen to your personal message from God in Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quintilius was governor of Syria. And everyone who went there to... This is a bad morning. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him to be married and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them.
I want to welcome you again. I'm so thankful everyone has come out on this Christmas Eve to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what the great gift that he has given to us. And I have a gift to give to you tonight. I'm going to let you vote. We're in a democratic society. So I have two sermons. I thought so. 10-minute, 45. Who votes for the 10-minute? I've got some emails to Santa.com tonight. You know, it used to be letters to Santa. I remember writing them myself. Now it's emails. In a few years, we're probably going to be doing tweets to Santa and whatever comes after that. Society is changing so fast, I cannot keep up with it. I'm sure you're having the same problems. Got to have my water. These are from children age 4 to 11. I'm not going to give you all the ages, just let you guess on them. Dear Santa, I'm sorry, but I don't have a chimney. I'll leave the cat flap unlocked for you, but please watch out for the litter box. Dear Santa, do you have any elves that help, or elves that sit on the sofa all day long? Dear Santa, Mom and Daddy says I have not been very good these past few days. How bad can I be before I lose my presence? Some of the adults in my congregation have been asking the same questions. Dear Santa, did you really run over Grandma? Dear Santa, please don't bring me any new clothes again. Kids don't want clothes for Christmas. Dear Santa, I'm sorry for putting that X-Lax in your milk last Christmas. Dad was really mad. The exact reason I don't have children. And the last one, a little more serious. Dear Santa, do you know Jesus is the real reason for the season? Not to be mean, but he is. Roseanne, age 11. Roseanne is right, of course. Jesus is the real reason for the season, and we forget it sometimes. We get lost in all the other advertisements and everything that is going on. A few years ago, Roberta was browsing through a local flea market when she came upon an antique Christmas manger scene. The price was just too good for her to comprehend, and she had to have it. And she questioned her owner about it. Was it the correct price? Because she didn't believe it was the correct price. And she wanted to give the right amount for it. She didn't want to steal anything. She said, "You can have it for a dollar." It's all there except for Jesus. No wonder the price was so low. Do you want a Christmas manger scene without Jesus in it? Is it really a manger scene at all without Jesus? That's the centerpiece, the most important part. And suddenly, Roberta realized that she was just like that Christmas manger. She was going through the process. She was going through the steps, but she was leaving Jesus out of Christmas in her own life. She was doing all the activities, baking cookies, buying presents, putting up lights, but she was leaving Jesus out of Christmas. I think that says it all. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why we come about Christmas with so much eagerness, so much anticipation, that wondrous story that the shepherds out in the fields that special night keeping watch over their flocks, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." Good news that will cause great joy for all the people, not just some people, but for all the peoples of the earth. Today is the day that David, a Savior, has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great host of appeared with angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom on favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby there lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child, who had heard and amazed what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured, it says, all these things and pondered them in her heart. Someone has called it the greatest story ever told. And have you ever heard a better story than it? When they laid the first transatlantic cable across the beds from the Atlantic Ocean, they wondered what words should be remembered in history that were said. Finally, they chose those words spoken by the angel. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Christmas, my friends, began in the heart of God. It didn't just accidentally happen. It was a purposeful event. Love came down at Christmas, wrote the poet, and it's true, God's love came down in the manger of Bethlehem. Christmas began in the heart of God. The time-honored story, I think I've used it before, about a grandfather who was babysitting his 4-year-old grandson. And a horrific thunderstorm came up, the kind that I grew up with in the South, and we had the old windows. When a storm came up, they would literally shake and rattle. And my sister literally would go hide under the bed. It terrified her so much. And this little boy, he yelled down to his grandfather that he was afraid. And his grandfather yelled back upstairs, "Don't be afraid. God is with you." And the little boy yells back down to his grandfather, "Yeah, but I want somebody with flesh on them." And isn't that what God did? He sent into our world his son Jesus with flesh and bones, that we could identify with him, that we could relate to him and understand him and his suffering. The Word became flesh. What a wonderful thing to have happened. That's why Christmas brings out the best in all of us. The New Testament teaches us that the very nature of God is love. In the glow of Christmas, we know ourselves to be loved, and we are led by that love to, in return, pass that love on to others. You receive love, and then you give love back. The Bible says we love because God first loved us. So you don't have to wait for another human being to love you. God has already loved you, so you give that love to someone else. And if you start giving that love away, someone else is going to love you back in return. That's just the way that it works. Christmas began in the heart of God. And Christmas is all about hope. It was no accident that Christmas comes at the darkest time of the year. We don't know the date when Jesus was actually born. So when the date was set for Christmas, it was set to symbolize the words of Isaiah, that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Christmas represents hope, and there's no finer symbol of hope than the birth of a child. As Carl Sandburg wrote, a baby is God's opinion that life should go on. In his autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela, and you know his story, and you know how long he suffered for his freedom and the freedom of his people. He tells about the impact that a baby had on his life. Mandela had been a political prisoner for 14 years and doing hard labor in this time in a rock quarry on the infamous Robben Island in South Africa. However, in 1978, his second youngest daughter married a prince, a true prince in Africa. She was immediately granted diplomatic privileges, and she could visit Mandela, her father, virtually at will, something she had not been allowed to do up until this time. This was amazingly good news for Mandela. For just about his entire imprisonment, he had been cut off from his entire family, from his children. He had not seen them. That winter after they were married, the young couple came to see Mandela along with their newborn baby daughter. Because of his son-in-law's status as a prince, Mandela and his family were allowed to meet in the consulting room, not the normal visiting area where one is separated from one's family by thick walls and glass. So this was something he was not used to being able to do. And Mandela reports that he waited for his daughter and her family with a sense of nervous and intrepidation, actually. And it was a truly wondrous moment when she came into the room and she took that baby and she handed it, almost threw it to her husband, the prince, and she ran to her father that she had not seen. And she threw her arms around him. Now what you have to understand here, he had not seen her since she was a baby. Now she is an adult woman with her own baby. He's not laid eyes on her. Can you imagine that? It's like some kind of science fiction movie, some kind of time warp. Not seen her since a baby, and all of a sudden she's running towards him, throwing her arms around him. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Little music to go with it. Finally, his son-in-law handed Mandela his tiny granddaughter. Mandela said he didn't let go of that grandson the rest of the time that were there. He said to hold that newborn baby so vulnerable and soft in his rough hands, and he was used to holding shovels and picks and that hard labor that he had been subjected to for so long. It brought him such a profound joy. He says that in his mind, no man had ever been happier holding a baby in their life than he was at that very moment. The visit, however, had a more official purpose to it. In their culture, the grandfather names the baby. So it was often an awesome responsibility for him. You can imagine all the things going through his mind. So he chose a name, and I'll probably tear this name up. Zaziwe. If you know how to pronounce it, tell me after the service. Zaziwe, which means hope. Name had special meaning for Mandela because during all that time in prison, hope never left him, and he said, now hope never would. He was convinced that this child would be a part of a new generation for South Africans who would, apartheid would be a distant memory, and they could go on into a new dream. A baby named Hope. Jesus could have been named Hope, but he represented man's most profound hope. Instead, he was named Jesus, Deliverer, Savior. And Isaiah gave him other names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Christmas comes from the heart of God because Christmas is all about hope. And this is to say that Christmas is the best news that the world could ever receive. An angel had the privilege of announcing the news to the shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. What a powerful message. And history was certainly being shaped as Mary held that newborn baby in her arms. Maybe she didn't understand the significance of it all. And not only the history of the world, but your history, and my history, and your grandchildren's history, and all the people that are born after them to come are touched by that baby born in Bethlehem. So tonight, let us give a profound thanks and have a sense of gratitude for what has happened. Because Christmas comes from the heart of God. Christmas is about hope, and Christmas is the best news that the world will ever receive. What a difference a baby makes. Amen. I forgot to make the announcement.